Our help is in the name of Jehovah, who hath made heaven and earth. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in singing Psalter number 222, not 322, but 222. Let us sing the first four verses of number 222. Let us now make confession together of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let each of us say sincerely in our hearts, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join again in singing Psalter number 51. Number 51. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. The three verses of number 51. Let us now join our hearts together in prayer to God. Our Father who art in heaven, once again we humble ourselves before thee, the great God of heaven and earth. We acknowledge thee to be the God of our salvation. We thank thee for this day that thou hast given us and the blessings of thy house. We thank thee for the reminder of the Sabbath day, its encouragement for us, that there remains for us an eternal Sabbath that awaits us in glory. It is through the observance of the Lord's Day that we also are reminded that our life does not have its end in this world, and we are not to set our hearts upon the things of this world, but upon the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. We thank thee, O Lord, that we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, that is found throughout this world. We pray for thy church wherever she is, not only in our own land, but in foreign lands, in all the nations of the earth. We are mindful of the fact that most of that church we don't even know about, but thou dost know her and every member of her. We pray for thy church in lands where there is great distress, where there is poverty and war and trouble, where the judgments of the last days are being poured out upon the earth. We pray that thou wilt preserve thy church, and that in the midst of great trials and signs of thy judgment, that she may be preserved, and that she may look unto the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for that part of the church that we do know. We thank thee for our missionaries in the Philippines and for their labors, Reverend Smith and Reverend Klein. We pray for the congregation that has been established there and the work that goes forth from her unto different places in the Philippines. Wilt thou be pleased, O Lord, to continue to gather thy church? We pray for the saints in Singapore. We thank thee for recent visits that have been made and for the working together that we have. We pray that this work may be fruitful to bring about again the sister relationship between our denominations. We pray for Pastor Go and for the faithful saints that gather to worship there. We pray for saints in Myanmar and in India that we have gotten to know, small groups of thy people in the midst of lands of heathendom where thy church is so very small in comparison to those who walk in the darkness of heathen religion. We pray that thou wilt use us as churches in these days yet until the day of the return of Christ to preach the gospel unto the nations. We pray for the home mission work that thou hast given us to do. We thank thee especially for the stage of the Sioux Falls mission that it is now preparing for the institution of the church among them. We pray that thou will bless this great event and establish the congregation there that has been gathered through the common labors of our churches. We are mindful of the great need that there is for ministers of the gospel. We know that there are a number of our congregations that do not have their own pastor. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless our churches with ministers of the gospel. Raise up from our midst young men who are called to that great task, that calling of the ministry of the gospel. Bless our seminary and our professors as they instruct men for this work. Give them all that they need to give sound instruction so that we may have men who are well trained and who are sound in the faith and courageous and bold to proclaim thy word. And so may our churches be blessed in days and years to come until the return of our Savior. We thank thee for other things that we can do together as a denomination. We thank thee for the radio program, the Reformed Witness Hour, and for the printed page, and even the internet that is today being used to spread the word, to publish it to many places. We pray that thou wilt preserve thy truth in the midst of us, and that we may be also zealous to proclaim it to others outside of the walls of our congregations. Bless us, O Lord, in our life as a congregation here in Randolph. Give us love for one another, and may we walk together in the unity of faith. May we be a witness in the midst of this community. Bless also our Christian school. We thank thee for this school and for blessing it so abundantly in the past years. We pray for our teachers as they give instruction to our covenant children. May all of these things serve to build up a new generation, that thy church in this place might continue according to thy purposes in the line of generations. Bless us now as we listen to thy word. Bless thy servant that he may speak of its truth clearly and boldly, and give us humility of heart that we may not speak against thy word, but that we may receive its truth and submit ourselves to it. May this particular service also help to prepare us for the next Lord's Day when we shall be called to come to the table of the Lord. Hear our prayers again in thy great mercy forgive our sins, which are many and which are grievous. In thy sight, blot them out in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Let us now worship the Lord with our offerings. Let us join again in the worship of singing Psalter number 15, the three verses of number 15. We turn to God's word this afternoon as we find it in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and there we shall read from verses 17 to 35. Then we will also read the parallel passage in Luke chapter 22, just verses 21 to 23. Reading first of all then from Matthew 26, beginning with verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Then Peter said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And we read just a short passage in Luke chapter 22, verses 21 to 23. Luke 22, verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. The time of the record that we just read, Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room. This was the night in which he would be betrayed, and he knew all things that were going to take place in this fearful night. He gathered his disciples together around him in order to celebrate with them the last Passover and to institute the Lord's Supper. It was at this particular time that Jesus determined to send out Judas to do his evil work of betraying the Lord. Christ himself would send Judas out. He must be sent out, and we believe he was sent out at this particular point of the celebration in the upper room. Rightly read, and when you compare the various gospel accounts, we believe that Judas was sent out before the institution of the Lord's Supper. Matthew and Mark and John record this, and we can gather that from those three records. Only Luke is somewhat unclear. Most are of the opinion that Judas was sent out just before the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And that was purposely so done because Judas could have no part in the celebration of the supper. Jesus was gathered for this celebration with his own disciples. The betrayer, Judas, must be excluded from the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Jesus sent Judas out, though he did that at this point yet secretly. He did not inform the other disciples as to the reason why Judas was sent out, or even precisely what Judas was going to do as he went out. And we are told that the disciples imagined that Judas went out in order to purchase something that was necessary for the Lord's Supper. When Jesus announced to his disciples the awful reality that one of them was going to betray them, he elicited the question from them all, "Lord, is it I?" We read in Matthew's account that when the disciples heard this, they were exceeding sorrowful. They were just not just sorrowful, but they were exceeding sorrowful. It was absolutely shocking to them that one of the disciples should betray Jesus. They didn't understand what that would really mean in all of its awful reality. And so Jesus, just before the institution of the Lord's Supper, dismissed Judas. And at the same time, through this process, we can understand that the faithful disciples of the Lord were drawn closer to Jesus, and it was with them that he instituted and celebrated the Lord's Supper. We consider this account in connection with the question of Jesus, "Lord, is it I?" Notice first of all the occasion for this question. Secondly, notice the two types of men that it concerned. And thirdly, the Lord's dealing with both of these. What a shocking announcement it was that Jesus made at this particular time. One of you will betray me. He that sits at this table where we are gathered for communion and fellowship, one of those who sits here is going to be betraying me. Already much earlier in Jesus' earthly ministry, he had prophesied of that. When he was ministering in Galilee, then he said to his disciples, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? One of you is a devil." What a fearful thing that was, and what a grievous thing that was for the Lord himself. All the while, during his earthly ministry, as these 12 disciples were with him, among them was one who was a devil, a hater and an enemy of Jesus. For a long time, most of the 3 years that Jesus went about his earthly ministry, the disciples followed after him and they heard his wonderful words. They saw his miracles. They witnessed the great power of his salvation. They had a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked and talked with him, and among them was Judas. Christ himself had chosen Judas, knowing that Judas was going to be his betrayer. He knew that. That's why he could make that prophecy. All the while, Judas was there. He heard the same words that the other disciples heard. He saw the same mighty, wonderful works. He was sent out with the 12 when they were sent out to preach the gospel throughout Judea and Galilee, and he had the power of Christ, to perform miracles along with the other disciples. And yet, he had a devil in his heart. The wickedness of Judas's heart began with the imagination that Jesus was going to be an earthly king. He had the imagination that somehow he would have a great place in the kingdom of Christ on earth. He had an entirely carnal conception of the kingdom, as many do who profess the Christian faith. They imagine that somehow there's going to be some earthly advantage to following Jesus. Judas was the treasurer of the disciples. He carried the bag, and apparently, as we are told, he was a lover of money. He had in his heart the sin of covetousness. That began already when he first followed Jesus, and as he continued to follow Jesus, those thoughts were hardened in his heart. He despised the Lord more and more as his expectations regarding Jesus were not fulfilled, more and more he became disappointed, and the sin of his heart developed. The devil was working in his heart. One of you is a devil. Now we can consider all of that from all kinds of fearful perspectives. Judas was a reprobate, ungodly man, and the devil worked in his heart. But certainly, Judas also agreed with the devil's temptations. He was wicked personally himself. He allowed in his heart to grow evil hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ. What a terrible thing that is. And so Judas is a picture of the apostate sinner who has hatred in his heart, even though he's very close to the Lord. Perhaps he comes to church even for the time he hears the word, but because of the sin that is in his own heart, he is offended by the Lord, and he is given over to the devil. Already the prophet in the Psalms, David, prophesied that this was going to happen. Mine own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. O thou mine enemy. What an anguish that was for the Lord Jesus. But now this must be manifest, although not yet openly, that Jesus was sitting with his disciples at the table, or really lying on couches around the table, and on one side of him was the Apostle John, whom Jesus loved, leaning on his bosom, and on the other side of him was Judas. That happened because Peter had gone to the lowest place, and now Judas was sitting there. When Jesus asked the question, or rather when Jesus made the statement, one of you, one who sits at the table and is supping with us, he will betray me. Then all the disciples began to ask in great sorrow, Lord, is it I? They were exceedingly sorrowful because they thought how terrible it would be if one of the disciples would betray their beloved Lord. What a dreadful thing that was, and also what a breach that would cause in the midst of the disciples who had for such a long time been together, united in the Lord and serving the Lord. And now Jesus makes this announcement. One of you shall betray me. The true disciples of Jesus were exceedingly sorrowful. And it was out of sorrow that they asked the question that they did. Lord, is it I? Jesus ordered all of this for this purpose. Not only was this question asked at this time in order that Judas could be sent out, but this question was also asked in order that the hearts of all of the disciples might be searched. They must examine their own hearts before the Lord's Supper would be instituted. And this they were compelled to do. With great fear and concern in their hearts, they said, Lord, is it I? How unthinkable, how horrible should I be that one who should betray my Lord? The disciples who had this question in their souls revealed in the very way that they answered their profound concern. They revealed their humility. They revealed their fear concerning the sinfulness of their own hearts. They did not say, it couldn't possibly be me, Lord. But they said instead, Lord, is it I? My heart is so sinful, Lord, that it has the potential of which you are speaking. And so when we prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord, that's the proper perspective. It's the same perspective that the psalmist has in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, search my heart. Is it I? I know the sin that is in mine own heart. Could it be that I will fall so deeply that I will deny the Lord? The question also indicates that they rely on the Lord Himself. That's why they ask the question in the way they do. Lord, is it I? They do not imagine that they can deliver themselves from their own evil hearts. They do not imagine that they can prepare themselves for sitting at the table of the Lord. They do not imagine that they are worthy in themselves, but they cast themselves, as it were, completely upon the Lord. And so we must, beloved, as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord, we speak of it in those terms. We must prepare ourselves, but really, the Lord must prepare us. The Lord Himself, by the power of His grace, must deliver us from the sin that is in our hearts. And we can stand at a distance from Judas with shock and horror and imagine that that could never be me. But the Lord shows us in His Word that it could be, as far as the potential of mine own sinful heart. And if the Lord would not deliver me from that sinful heart, if I were not cleansed by the power of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, then I would fall headlong into the same sin as Judas, and I would have no part in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And so that's how we have to consider the example of Judas. After all the other disciples had answered the question, Lord, is it I? Then Judas also dared to ask that question. And he doesn't use the word Lord, but instead he uses the word Master. Master, is it I? And he does so with an entirely different spirit. He does so not to have his heart opened by the power of the Lord, but rather in order to have, to be secret, to deceive his own heart. He doesn't ask this question in sorrow like the other disciples did, but somehow in his evil heart that had been so hardened with sin, he still imagined that the Lord was not talking about him when Jesus said that he didn't know the awful reality of his own sin. And before Judas was sent out, we read in our text that Jesus says this to all of his disciples, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. it had been good for that man if he had not been born. What fearful words they were, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Judas, and even then, Judas did not understand that these words were directed against him. And then John, and that's how we have to understand it, who was leaning on Jesus, John personally asked Jesus, "Who is it, Lord?" And Jesus answered quietly just to John in such a way that the other disciples did not hear what he said. He said to John, "It is the one with whom I dipped the sop." A piece of bread was dipped in bitter sauce, and this would be the sign that Jesus gave not to the other disciples, but only to John. And then after that, Jesus sent Judas out, "That thou doest, go and do it quickly." And even then, Judas went out. His heart was so hard and so blind. He imagined that Jesus did not know who he was. And he went out and he did his evil work, though the Lord had clearly spoken of that evil work. And there is, beloved, the example of the power of sin that leads man to destruction and to hell. That's what happened to Judas. In the sovereignty of God, in judgment, he was led to his own destruction, even though he had walked with Jesus. He went out and he committed the great evil of betraying his Lord, an evil so great that Jesus said concerning it, "It would have been better that Judas would never have been born because of the judgment that will come upon Judas for all eternity." Those who sit in church with hard hearts and with enmity against God and the Lord Jesus Christ, those who will not hear his word, they shall receive a most dreadful judgment. And so Judas was sent out, and he went to do his evil work, and later on in Acts chapter 1, we read of what happened to Judas because of that evil work. In verses 17 to 20, we read, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldamah, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take." And so came the judgment of God upon Judas. But this also, beloved, became the occasion for Jesus to draw his disciples unto himself. The evildoer had to be sent away in order that the true disciples of Jesus Christ could be joined together at the table of the Lord. And they are so joined together as those who are delivered from evil and whose hearts are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is with those that the Lord Jesus Christ will celebrate The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a picture and a sign of the blessed fellowship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sign of the spiritual blessings that we are partakers of. And we are partakers of those blessings by the power of Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from our evil hearts and who draws us near unto himself, that we might be partakers of the blessings of everlasting life, and in order that at the table of the Lord we might have a foretaste of those blessings as we have communion with Christ at the table of the Lord. So may the Lord prepare us to come to his table. And may we pray even the plea of the disciples that Christ may draw us to himself. Amen. Let us now turn to the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper as it is found in the back of our Psalters on page 91 or on page 136. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary. First, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. Although then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee that we can look forward again to the time when we come to the table of the Lord to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to sit down with our Lord Jesus Christ and to be partakers of the riches of salvation that he has merited for us on the cross. We are mindful, O God, of how unworthy we are in ourselves to be there. We know that we have a heart of Judas, and we know that because of our sinful nature, we often deny thee and betray thee in our lives, and we are ashamed of our sins. As we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord, we are mindful that we must cast ourselves upon thee alone, O God, for we cannot prepare ourselves except thou dost prepare our hearts. And we plead for the working of thy grace that thou wilt deliver us from every evil inclination of our hearts. Do not, O God, give us over to the iniquity of our own hearts. but deliver us and cleanse us and cause us to come to the table of the Lord through faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so may we receive the blessing of Jesus Christ, which he has intended for us in this holy sacrament. Hear us, O God, in thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now join together in singing number 384. Psalter number 384. Let's sing the five stanzas of number 384. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.